But there are some regular check-ins that you should be doing just before you get into that December mood. And you are, you're wrapping up the year, you're doing the things, and make sure that one of those things is to check in with your financial planner. Why? Well, let us have our resident CFP, Shannon Clark, elaborate on that one today. Shan, wonderful to be back in studio with you. How are you?
Fantastic. And you, Leah, good to be back.
Yeah, I'm good. Hey, I'm loving the fact that spring is upon us. I had a long, cold, lazy winter. Ticking all the boxes. I'm going to gym. I'm eating right. I've checked in with my financial planner. I'm doing the health checks tomorrow. So yeah, there's a sense of accomplishment that comes with all of that. So I guess I have you to thank me, or I have you to thank for mobilizing me into action.
Fantastic, Leah. And you know, one of the things that I'm so excited about coming here today is in all the episodes that we've been doing to date, these last three episodes, I've had the most feedback from people in terms of passing me in the streets when I've been out, people that I've bumped, saying that they have been catalyzed into action. They've been mobilized into pulling out that will, getting hold of their attorney, getting hold of their financial planner, revisiting their estate plan, and they've been asking really important questions. So that's great. I'm so, so happy because I feel we are achieving what we set out to achieve, and that is add some value to the community in terms of letting them do the right things.
And if there's anything specific that you want to hear about, I'm sure that people can pop you an email at shannonclark@wealthology.co.za. If there is a certain topic that you feel is pertinent that we have maybe overlooked, then yes, get hold of us and also get hold of Shannon in his personal capacity. But today's conversation, we're going back to some basics that, hey, we often do overlook.
Yeah. So, you know, as I say, it's great to see people are, have been mobilized into action and are intervening and doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, again, financial planning, we're talking about having the right habits as opposed to the right skills. And that's something that we need to constantly go back and remember and remember and remember. So it's so important to have that financial plan. And there are areas of that financial plan that need to be reviewed and revisited on an ongoing basis to see that they are pertinent. And we look at things like your mortality, your morbidity. And there we talk about your life cover, your disability cover. We talk about your medical aid. Those are all things that are important to be in place. That gets linked to your estate plan, and linked to your estate plan is your will. Okay, so all of that is so important to be revisited on an ongoing basis. Now, the strange thing is, in terms of financial planning, that is those areas are where people are least catalyzed to review on an ongoing basis.
Right.
It's the other side of the financial plan, the investment plan, where people tend to want to intervene and revisit on an ongoing basis, and for the wrong reasons.
We've learned that's not the strategy.
I don't get too many calls from clients to say, let's revisit our will, let's revisit the estate plan. But I get plenty of calls when the market takes a bit of a dip from clients to say, hang on a second, I'm feeling very nervous. Let's make changes to my investment strategy.
Because as you've said in past episodes, I mean, we're human beings. We're hardwired to respond to threats. And when there are threatening conditions in the market, it seems natural to make those changes. But as you are highlighting here for us, that is not the right place to make the changes.
Exactly. And yeah, so when markets have a little bit of a wobble, those threats are apparently there now. They are in their faces. When you talk about your mortality, that's something that you can't even see that far into the future.
It's a hypothetical.
Exactly. So, you know, it's not something that people are catalyzed into doing. So that, coming back to it, they catalyze into reviewing and intervening for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
So let's look back to where our discussions were prior to this month in terms of looking at investment planning.
Mm-hmm.
And in your investment plan, one of the things that you need to build is your asset allocation strategy.
Right.
Your asset allocation is the biggest driver of growth over time. Okay. And what I'm talking about in terms of your asset allocation strategy, in terms of your investment plan, how much growth assets do you have in your plan, i.e. shares or equities, as they are otherwise called, and properties. These are the kind of investments that are going to give you inflation plus 5 to 8% over time.
Right.
How much exposure do you have for interest-bearing investments, i.e. bonds, which are going to outperform inflation by 4% over time.
Okay.
And how much exposure you have to cash in your investment portfolio, which we know is not going to outperform inflation.
What I like about how you started this conversation, though, is you clearly stated that it's important to set a strategy. It's not important to go and make changes. It's important to set a strategy and take into consideration exactly what your goals are, what your timeline is, and then leave it. Not to go back and revisit every now and then, because funds are funds are funds. Funds are going to do what funds do. They're going to go up and down and all about, and there's always going to be a next best thing on the block. But the strategy is what determines what happens.
Absolutely. And our industry's has a bit of a habit of having the flavors of the month and using that to market products and leading people into make changes where they shouldn't perhaps even be making changes. So yes, coming back, you must build your asset allocation strategy. When I refer to that, we talk about a strategic asset allocation.
Right.
And in terms of building that asset allocation strategy, one needs to take into account in how long the money is going to be needed, how long it's going to be till you need the money,
right,
and how long it's going to be needed for.
Okay.
Okay. The other thing that one has to look at is how hard the money or the investment has to work to achieve your outcome, i.e. the investment growth, the required return that you have to get on that money to make this whole thing work.
Right.
And the other thing that one needs to factor into all of that, as we've discussed in previous episodes, is your emotional ability to take on investment risk. And the portfolio has got to be built taking all of those into account.
Right.
And it will be different from one person to the next. That is your will determine your strategic asset allocation. A portfolio will get built around that. And that strategic asset allocation, in other words, how much growth assets you're going to have, how much income-bearing assets, and how much cash you'll have in your portfolio, should be applied and be left.
Right.
It shouldn't be touched.
Right.
However, we have tactical asset tactical asset allocation. That's where people now want to step in and try and intervene.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back, I think it was chapter 7, where we spoke about the behavior gap. That's research done by Delbar and Morningstar, where they take investments over time and look at the return, and they take investors over time and look at the return, and you see a gap of about 3.5% in terms of how investors actually underperform investments over time.
And that's factual. That's studies that have done been done over time. They're peer reviewed, and it is. It is facts, but it becomes difficult when we are having to steer the course. But again, if you have a solid strategy and if you have the backing of a professional who's helping you make this strategy, formulate it, taking into consideration exactly who you are as an individual and where you're going, you can stay firm in that strategy when inevitably things do get a little bit rocky.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, in the next bit, we are going to be moving into where you should be making these changes. We are going to take a short musical break over here. And yeah, do stay tuned, please, because this is where it gets pretty good. Taylor Swift up next with Cardigan, an item of clothing that could cost you a pretty penny. I didn't schedule that, but hey, it's relevant. Taylor Swift with Cardigan. You're just in time for the second half of Wealth Wednesdays, our conversation of today, again with Shannon Clark, our resident CFP. We've looked at the financial plan as a whole and kind of decided which parts of it are not too important to intervene on or make changes to on a regular basis. But there is another side to the financial plan where it becomes very important to do regular checks, regular interventions to make sure that it is still relevant and still able to safeguard you in case of emergencies and life's happenstances.
Yeah, and Leah, you know, in terms of that, as I said, it's the area where people tend not want to go and intervene and look at. It's the difficult conversations, and very often, in order to come to a solution, it involves them digging into their pockets and maybe spending a little bit more money. And we're talking about the risk side of things.
Yeah.
In other words, the life cover, the disability covers, the income protections, the medical scheme cover. And remember what I said in terms of getting to that point of financial freedom where you want your assets that you are going to, that are going to generate an income. In other words, the income from those assets are going to exceed your expenses.
Yes.
So you want to get those assets to grow as much as possible.
Yes.
In other words, we want compounding to happen. Remember, compounding is that magical force that's going to make all the magic.
We want to have the right
strategy.
That is
the silver bullet. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to have events happen that deplete that pool of funds.
Yes.
And it could be a medical expense that's unbudgeted for, not covered. It could be a dread disease. It could be
the disability. Death of a partner that you're dependent on.
Absolutely. It could be a disability. And very often with disability, people think of permanent disability. They don't think of the temporary disability.
Yeah.
So in other words, the impact that that can have on your income. So it's important to go back and to revisit that and see to it that it's pertinent and applicable.
And now, in this day and age, there are products galore. I mean, if I don't get a phone call from one of these service providers, it's a very happy day. So there are many, many options, and I know that we will unpack these in episodes to come. But talk us through the important things. One of them for me that I discovered when I revisited my financial plan was the fact that my disability cover was way too low for somebody in their 20s. So it was my income protection. I was shocked. Maybe I could get a wheelchair, maybe even a ramp if I was lucky. But I would have a serious problem if I could not generate an income.
Leah, for young people, disability cover is to me, people in the accumulation phase of their life. In other words, you're accumulating your assets. Disability cover is one of the most overlooked covers that should be out there. People are always catalyzed into putting life cover in place, okay, but disability cover and particularly income protection is overlooked. And I always use the analogy. What is your biggest asset? In fact, I think I've asked you this question in the past.
I got it wrong, but I know the answer now.
Your biggest asset is you and your ability to earn an income.
Yes.
And that is what should be looked after. You are a goose that's laying golden eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to rush out and look after the golden eggs. Okay, in other words, their investments.
Yeah.
But if that goose gets taken out of the picture, okay, well, what happens then? And that's what's so important. So even if you are married with no kids, something happens to you, the burden is now left on your spouse to now look after you.
Yeah.
Okay.
For life.
And for life. Please God, it will be for life that they don't, because it is a very, very stressful situation.
It happens.
Yeah. So, you know, stuff like that. It's important that you revisit and review that.
Yeah. Look, Shan, I'm really looking forward to getting into these kind of conversations later on. And if you don't know, these conversations happen every single Wednesday. Do make sure that you tune in at 10:30. And wrapping up today's conversation, I just want to also indicate how much of an opportunity it is to go and visit these financial plans once more. And often when you are applying for cover, you are required to have certain health checks done. Life gets busy, life gets away with us, and we don't go to the doctor nearly enough. There are so many instances when people are applying for simple life covers where they are alerted to very serious medical conditions. And if I am right over here, correct me if I'm not, the expenses are paid by the person you are applying for cover with. So it is an opportunity for you to really check in with your plan, first of all, and check in with your health as well.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And you're 100% correct. Yeah, medicals are paid for by the life insurers.
Fantastic, Shan. Well, I look forward to furthering this conversation. You can catch us back here, right here on Radio Life and Style next week, same time, same place, for some more Wealth Wednesday knowledge. And if you would like to get in touch with Shannon Clark, please do so at shannon@wealthology.co.za. Until next time, Shan, have yourself a wonderful day.